we're here with a couple of guests in the studio, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves because I want to make sure that I get the pronunciation of the names correct. But we have the Chatham Village historian, who is...
Gail, how are you?
Good.
My last name is Wolzanski, but I go by Gail Bloss because I was raised under that name, Gail Bloss, in the village of Chatham.
Okay, good. And we have...
Rick Connedy.
Great. And Rick and Gail, you are here to talk to us about something very special that is going on in Columbia County.
Well, I think it's very special because it was a volunteer move by Rick to offer his talent as a comedian and come to Chatham to give us a performance with four of his comedian friends.
That's right.
And the reason is because the Three Stooges at one time lived in the town of Chatham. Some people know that, some people don't.
And I did not. Until yesterday.
Yes, and it was a very brief moment in time, but of course, because of their notoriety, we're proud to say that they were there from 1916 to 1918.
Mm-hmm.
And from all accounts, from Paul Howard, who is the son of Moe, they had a great time on the farm, loved the farm animals, and had a few adventures. Mm-hmm. Maybe Rick can tell you a little bit why he wanted to come and do this for us.
Yes.
Well, I simply heard in a conversation I had with somebody I know up in the Albany area. We got talking about old-time comedy. They mentioned that the Three Stooges had lived down in the Chatham area. I had not known that myself. And I said, well, I'm going to have to find out some more information about this. And I did, and I ended up talking to Gail, and she told me some really really funny stories about the youthful Stooges being Mo, Shemp, and Curly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As a child, you know, you heard these rumors, and wives' tales abound in a small community. But when I returned after retiring from being a school teacher and I became the local historian, I wanted to find the truth behind the rumor. And very fortunately, I was able to contact Paul Howard. And Paul Howard is Mo's son. And Paul is very amenable to talking about his family, and especially Chatham. In fact, I just spoke with him yesterday, and he said, I really like the Chatham connection. And I think that's all more appropriate that we are going to have him as a guest tomorrow night at the first performance at 5:30.
Wow, great. So tell us about the performances. When, where, how?
Over to you, Rick.
Who, what, when, where, how?
Well, the first show is going to take place at the Ghent Playhouse. It's going to kick off at 5:30.
And that's tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Thursday.
Yep. And there'll be... Well, I'm going to mention the other comics. I want to make sure I get, get their names in. They're volunteering their time and talent, as they have in the past for many fundraisers. Great bunch. There are Carlisle Carey and John Houseman. Ed Smythe and Mark Jagello, and they're coming from all over the Capital District area, Massachusetts, and I would have to line up a different group of comics for the second show. The second show is going to follow shortly after. It starts at 8 at Chatham Brewing, Main Street in Chatham, and every one of the comics I asked to be in the Ghent Playhouse show wanted to go and do the second show afterwards too.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have two shows tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Are those the? Are there more shows after tomorrow, or is just it's just tomorrow?
No, tomorrow's making the history. Two shows in one evening, and I'm going to take this opportunity to thank Rick. I mean, we've only met twice, this being the second time, and out of the blue, he gives me an email saying, "Do you know anything about the Stooges in Chatham?" That was in December, and the next communication, I think you were volunteering to do the shows for us, and I think it's been such a fast run of trying to get people to know about this and putting it together that I'm going to, for the first time, say thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
I really have not. I thought about that this morning. I said, I don't think I even thanked him yet because it's been such a exciting moment. I mean, I'm back in touch with Paul Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I know Paul Howard because we did two other, I guess you would call it, activities with him in Chatham. Back in 2008 and again in 2010, where he showed some fantastic family movies of his Uncle Curly and Uncle Shemp and dead at their home in Hollywood, jumping in the pool and doing antics in the backyard. And then we did a reenactment, a true reenactment of an occurrence that happened when Mo was a young boy living in Chatham over the summer. Mm-hmm. He and Brother Shemp met their mom at the depot, which is now the Kendrick Bank. Curly was a young boy, and he was in the back of the wagon, a little timid about his mom's reaction to what was going to happen. Shemp stood there on one side holding the horse, of course, horse and buggy days. Mo stood on the other side. Each had grown a beard and shaved half of it off, so they complimented each other, and they wore ragged old Revolutionary War outfits. And they stood there immobile at attention while their mom got off the train, which was a direct train to Grand Central Terminal and back to Chatham at that time, and couldn't figure out who these two people are until she realized it. All of a sudden, she says, "Why, you must sugar us." She was so embarrassed that they did this in front of all the crowd getting off the train that she just called, "You fools," you know? One of the reasons that she got the farm, she was a real estate agent, wanted to keep Mo, especially Mo, and I think Shemp as well. She knew that they were interested in getting into vaudeville at that time, and that wasn't part of her plan for her boys. But that didn't stop them from the antics that they pulled in Chatham. And I've told Rick a few, so he's going to tell you.
My favorite was about Shemp. I love this. It's something I'd like to do, actually. Shemp dressed himself up like a scarecrow, and he stood out in a farmer's field. So when somebody went by on the road, he would just turn and look at them. I love that.
Yes. Yeah, that's great.
But I was going to say that their parents were trying to keep him away from vaudeville, and the bug had already hit at least Mo, because Mo, when he was about 12 years old, started working for Vitagraph Studios, which was down in Brooklyn at the time. And he was working as an errand boy. And after a while, when he got to know everybody, they started putting him in some of those two-reelers. One of them, which he played a bully, so that was probably a harbinger of things to come. But so at the age of 12, he was already appearing in films, which sadly are lost because there was a fire some years later, and a lot of that film footage was gone.
I was doing a little reading up on the Three Stooges, and they did 190 shorts for Columbia.
Yep.
And that's amazing.
That's
over
what,
a period of, they were active for decades.
Mm-hmm.
4, 5, 6 decades that they actually were active.
Well, they started making two-reelers around 1933, that with Ted Healy.
Mm-hmm.
They were with Ted Healy and the Stooges. And they made a movie in 1930 with them, Soup to Nuts. That was with Shemp.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Shemp was already involved. It was Ted Healy, Mo, Shemp, and Larry Fine. And doing vaudeville. And then they got to Hollywood. Shemp made that one feature film, and then he left, and he went off. He had a very lucrative career as a character actor for the next decade or so. He did not hit it off with Ted Healy. And the other two ended up leaving a few years later because Ted Healy's temperament was a little much.
Yeah. In my research, he had a bad temperament that was tempered by drink.
Yes.
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 And it's just for our listeners, because probably they don't know, what's a two-reeler?
It's a film approximately 20 minutes in length. Can be a little, 17, 18 to 20 minutes in length. Because that was roughly, the length of a reel was 5 to 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's interesting that if you look at the persona that Curly had, part of that persona was the fact that when he was on the farm as a young boy, he was cleaning his rifle, and it went off, and it shot him in the ankle. So when you see him walk, and he's got that sort of gimpy walk, it's not because he had put that on. It was part of the act because it had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Mo was his savior at that point when he shot himself. got them in a wagon and got them all the way to Albany, and dirt roads majority of the way,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that would have been about at least 30 miles, more than 30 miles.
I took Rick to the farmhouse. We have the deed to the farmhouse, so we know where it is, where the Horwitz family had their farm. And it's still a dirt road, I should say. And it gives you a good impression of what they went through to get Curly and Payne to, I think it was St. Peter's in Albany. So, plus they loved the farm animals. I'm learning, and I'm repeating what I heard from Paul, Mo's son. Mm-hmm. So much so that when Mo became famous and went to Hollywood, and the backyard of their home there in Burbank, he built a hen house. And the hens had a beautiful hen house, complete with curtains. And that's because Mo had a pet hen when he was in Chatham. He managed to save it from being taken away by a chicken hawk at one point by throwing a rock at the hawk. But the poor thing died when a horse stomped on it.
Yeah, now where does Paul Howard live today?
Paul Howard has a home in the city, New York City. And he has a summer or getaway place in Rivka, New York.
Okay.
And he's coming up from Rivka tomorrow to join the group and be part of it, actually. Be part of the first performance in part.
Okay. And the performances and the proceeds from the performances are going to benefit?
The Chatham Village Historical Society. And Rick was happy to do this because, of course, we have to include the Stooges as part of our history. But Chatham is rich with actors living there. Tatum O'Neill has lived there. There's a gate to a farm that has Harry Belafonte's theme song on it. So Harry Belafonte lived there in the 60s for a while. I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the Stooges are worldwide phenomenon, and we're so pleased that we could say they were part of our history.
Yeah.
And I'm very much interested in comedy history, and I was really thrilled about finding out through Gail and everything about the Stooges' residency, because it was just something I didn't know, so something new I learned.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. What else should we, anything else that we should be talking about here that we need to know about? Because this is fascinating to me. Yesterday, or Monday, Lynn, the manager, asked me if it would be okay if you would come on with it. And I said, certainly, absolutely. So I did a little reading about the Three Stooges and their history and how Harry Kahn of Columbia Pictures tried to prevent them from knowing how popular they were so that they wouldn't keep asking for raises. And,
yeah. Well, that's true. That Mo found out years later that they were severely underpaid. But he was a good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually had his brothers give him some percentage of their earnings, and he invested it for him, and he kind of saved it from him because especially Curly was kind of a spendthrift, I say. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, Curly, from what I heard from his nephew, was quite the playboy. So he did have a young marriage, though, that his mother broke up. I don't know if many people knew that.
No.
He got married, and his mother said, no, you're not. And he put an end to the marriage almost immediately when she found out. And I think it left him heartbroken for the rest of his life. And that tragedy comes through with a comedy. You know, you see that
true.
In his face.
Yeah. She sounds like a, I'm not quite sure what the word I'm looking for is, domineering?
I wouldn't say that's far from wrong. I mean, she's the one that bought the farmhouse to get the boys out of the city, right? There's no mention of her husband participating in that process at all.
Well, I want to say that as much as they wanted the kids away from show business, later on, the father, Saul, appeared in some of their shorts.
And what happened to the mother?
I don't think she could say much after that. I think that she knew that her chance to stop them in vaudeville had long past gotten, gone from under her control. Mm. I think it's also interesting to note that Mo so loved Chatham that when he returned to the East Coast, he brought his son Paul, who was then a young man, maybe even a teenager, back to Chatham Village and stopped in what is now Video Visions. At that time, it was a soda pop shop owned by the Capozzo family. And he went up to the counter with his son Paul, Mo did, and said, "Do you know who I am?" And the young man, Frank Capozzo, said he looked familiar. And he says, "Well, I'm Mo." And what he was trying to do was find the farmhouse so he could take his son Paul to show him where the Chatham farmhouse was, where he had such a great time. Unfortunately, it wasn't during Mo's lifetime that they located the farmhouse. That's why I was extremely pleased when I was able to show Paul what his father had tried to show him during his life.
Mm-hmm. And where is the farmhouse?
It's on Bushnell Road in the town of Chatham. And I can't go into details out of respect for the present owner.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say the present owner is a wonderful individual who's maintaining the history of the farmhouse. And he was very gracious to allow many fans to go through the farmhouse with Paul on his second visit back, I think it was 2010. So great. I like the collaboration. I like the collaboration that's going on now with Rick and his comedian friends and the Chatham Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to them for allowing us to do this. They're getting nothing from it except the fun of having the comedians there. And kudos to the Ghent Playhouse for allowing us to use their facility as well.
That's great. Is there any intention of building a museum to the Three Stooges? Or?
There's an intention, and it's been ongoing for a decade, to rebuild an 1814 farmhouse that's right there on the southern tip of the village of Chatham, bordering Ghent. And it was part of our history long before we knew the Stooges were going to be part of our history. But part of that museum is going to be dedicated to those, such as the Stooges, who have come to enhance the life of Chatham. And it includes many musicians and artists and actors and actresses. And Chatham was quite a very busy place for that kind of creative activity. That could take another show.
Okay. You know? Well, I'll have you back to talk about all of that. This is WGXC 90.7 ACRA. I have to get that in because we're right around the half-hour point, so I need to remind people that this is the Wednesday morning show. I'm your host, Matthew Tombers, and my guests today are...
Rick Connedy.
And Gail Walsansky.
And we're talking about tomorrow night, if you're just tuning in, there will be a performance at 5:30 at...
Ghent Playhouse.
And again at 8 o'clock...
At the Chatham Brewing on Main Street.
And it will be benefiting...
The Chatham Village Historical Society.
Right. And who all is going to be performing tomorrow night?
Well, we have John Hausman, Carlisle Carey, Mark Jagello, Ed Smythe, and myself. And at the Ghent Playhouse, at the end of the show, with Paul Howard and his wife Joanne will be there front row center.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is going to be introduced on stage, and he's going to... take questions from the audience, which I think will really be the icing on the cake tomorrow. Like, that'd be a great thrill. And he's talking about, is it okay about sing-along?
Yes.
Yeah, he's talking about doing a ending with a sing-along with the audience. There was a song that's well-known to diehard Three Stooges fans from one of their two reelers. Violent is the word for curly was the name of it. 1938, and a strange title, but it was taken from a tearjerker movie a couple of years before that called Valiant is the word for Carrie, so they just did a takeoff on a popular film title. But anyway, in that they were mistaken for college professors, and so they were teaching this class, and Mo was doing the alphabet. And it's called, I think, the just alphabet swing, I think it's referred to.
Okay.
And it's that, how's it go? B A B B
B A B B E B B I Bicky by B O Bo Bicky by Bo B U Boo Bicky by Bo Boo.
Oh,
great.
My God. I don't remember that. I do remember as a kid, because I grew up in Minnesota, on winter afternoons, because they would have a festival of Three Stooges films. And I can remember sitting in my bedroom watching the Three Stooges.
Mm-hmm. In that clip, they're wearing graduation gowns. So you can imagine they're standing there in front of a chalkboard, and they got a room full of young ladies who compliment the singing with their melodious tones in the background. A little hip hop too, yeah. Jazz in those days.
Yeah. It was actually an old 19th century song that they took. I don't know what the original title was, but they called it the Alphabet Swing, I believe.
Well, in one of the visits, Paul and I were just talking on the way to the farmhouse. I'm not sure. And I mentioned the song. He says, I think that's the song my dad used to sing to me when I was in my crib.
Mm-hmm.
And he waxed a little nostalgic when I saw his face. And for him to want to sing it again, it's kind of nice. It's very nice.
I'll bring up another old-time comic. It was Charlie Chase, a silent film comedian. And he ended up directing some of the Three Stooges shorts. And his maid used to sing that song to his children, and he told the Three Stooges about it, and that's how that came to be in that particular film.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. That is. Gail, is there anything else about the Chatham Historical Society that we should know?
Well, it's been around since 1994. It's partially responsible for saving the Union Depot from demolition. I don't know if people are familiar with the village of Chatham, but without that depot, you couldn't call it much of a village.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people would come from New York City on a daily basis. People would go to New York City on a daily basis, two or three times a day from that depot.
Mm-hmm.
So we're proud we were part of that. And then we became, we wanted to be the catalyst for people to retain that charm that's Chatham, which is our theme, save the charm that's Chatham. And we came across this 1814 farmhouse that had been abandoned, was going to be torn down. And in restoring it, we've got the brick and mortar back together. We've got a brand new roof. We came across a brick that was up in the upper left-hand corner, and somebody had inscribed their name on it. And when I took it to a local historian who knew about brick and mortar, he says, that individual, that brickmaker, has done that before. I've come across his signature before. The individual who lived in that house in the early 1900s was quite a character in his own right. He was a horse trader. He held mortgages on people's homes in Chatham. He created a cheese factory. The very first water company was in back of the Blinn Pulver farmhouse right there on Route 66. There were windmills back there. And that's how we raised the water and got water circulating through the town. It was closed down because it was too noisy. So that is one individual we're going to focus on because his descendants found his diaries and have published them. Very fascinating insights into what life was like. And this was the heyday of the trains, three trains going in and out of Chatham. And he talks about the Lincoln Liberty Pole going up on Main Street. And he talks about his farm workers going off to the Civil War. So there's a lot of history that he has retained for us, and his name was Philo Blinn. So we're trying to get that farmhouse back. His sons would have still been living there when the Three Stooges, when the Horwitz family bought their farm, so it's interconnected with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have plenty of rooms to show off our history, and certainly part of that history is going to be the innovative, creative people that walked through those streets, whether short time or a long time.
Okay. And we want to just reemphasize that tomorrow night, on Thursday, the 27th July, at 5:30 at the Ghent Playhouse, and again at 8 p.m. at the Chatham Brewing Company, there will be comedians, and it will be in support of, and how much is the admission?
$25.
$25. And it will be benefiting the Chatham Historical Society, which is chronicling the adventures of Moe, Curly, and Shemp Howard, better known as the Three Stooges.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you so much for coming. Anything that I've missed that you need to let us know about?
No. I've jotted down a couple of notes while I was sitting here.
Okay.
I just read thoughts colliding in my head. When Gail was talking about the, their mother getting the farm to keep them away from vaudeville and everything, and how Moe, for the rest of his life, loved, you know, chickens and things like that. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, had a great influence on his life. And there was another, it made me think of, there was another famous comedy team around the same era, the World War One era, the Marx Brothers. Mm-hmm. And Minnie, their mother, Minnie Marx, was their manager. So she certainly wasn't trying to keep him out of show business. But what she wanted to do was keep him out of World War One. And when she found out that the possibility that you could not be drafted if you were a farmer, she actually purchased a chicken ranch for her sons, if you can imagine them, on that. And it didn't last. They didn't, let's say they didn't have at least Moe's love of farming. And so that didn't last very long. But she, you know, where she was trying to keep them out of World War One, you know, Three Stooges' mom was just trying to keep them out of vaudeville. Like, right. You know. Which, well, she probably considered worse.
Shemp got drafted for World War One, but he didn't last long. They actually had to get him out of the army because he was a detriment to to the service. He was a bedwetter, and that got him out. Again, you were mentioning the farm and the influence. I guess Curly was a slug-a-bed as a child in the city, but when he got to the farm, he was up before everybody else because he wanted to get out and be with the animals. And he was the one that went out and fed them in the wee hours of the morning just to be with them.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I'll say one note about, speaking of World War One, I'm going to go to World War Two. Very interesting. They had something in common with Charlie Chaplin and Jack Benny. They were on Hitler's death list because they made 1940, 1941, around the time that Chaplin made The Great Dictator, and and Jack Benny made a film, anti-Nazi film too, to be or not to be, or something like that.
Yeah, to be or not to be.
And anyway, they made one, You Nazi Spy and I'll Never Heil Again.
Yes.
And which supposedly upset Hitler a great deal, and so he had the Three Stooges on their death list. So that's kind of a crown of honor, I would say.
I would say so, yes.
And I just have to end with my little bit about Chatham history. Hitler actually was prepared to bomb the village of Chatham. So that tie-in is amazing, isn't it? It's just so bizarre. The reason being, it was the hub for three railroads. And so he would have gotten them either direction, right?
He was trying. Well. Listen, thank you so much, Gail and Rick, for being with me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Matt. Gail, we'll have you back so you can talk more about all the other people who've been famous people who have walked the streets of Chatham.
Well, that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be, because this area has been incredibly rich in it. And we're going to go out and we're going to listen to Feel So Good by Diana Reeves, because this interview has made me feel so good, and I hope it's made you feel so good. And you'll feel so good if you end up at the Ghent Playhouse tomorrow night at 5:30 or the Chatham Brewing Company tomorrow night at 8 o'clock for a performance by some stand-up comics with a moment with Paul Howard, Curly's son.